The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
And so for tonight, I've chosen a very brief hadith of the 8th Imam, but it has a lot of substance to it, and I think it will hopefully resonate with all of us, giving us all something to take away from the life of the 8th Imam. So the Imam says here that a believer would never be a believer until they have three qualities within themselves. He says, sunnat min rabbihi, wa sunnatun min nabiihi, wa sunnatun min waliihi. That we have to have a sunnah, a tradition, a custom, a way, a path of life based on our Lord. One sunnah based on the Prophet, on our Nabi, and on the Wali. So three categories. We have to look at what is the sunnah of Allah? What is the sunnah of the Prophet? And what is the sunnah of the Wali, the Imam? Now, obviously, again, another vast topic, because if you want to look at the sunnah of Allah, there are multiple ayat of the Quran where Allah talks about the sunnatullah. Right? And that's a different area of discussion which the Imam is not necessarily speaking about. But he does give us an example in each of these. What is the sunnah of our Rabb? What is the sunnah of our Nabi? Right? It's not about how you brush your teeth, or what length your beard should be, or how short your pants should be, or how you eat, or how you drink. Those are all part of the sunnah, of the way of Rasulullah. And as we know that we are in a way obligated to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah to the best of our ability. But the sunnah that the 8th Imam is speaking about is something different, as we'll see. And then the sunnah of the wali, of the successor of the imam. Again, we have 12 imams to pick from. Each one has unique qualities and characteristics, as I alluded to in the beginning. But again, the 8th imam gives us one particular quality that we need to imbibe. So let me begin with the first part of the hadith, the sunnah of our Rabb. He says, فَأَمَّا سُنَّةُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَكِتْمَانُ سِرِّهِ. As for the sunnah of your Lord, it is the hiding, the veiling of secrets, of not telling everybody everything. You know, one of the beauties of Allah, brothers and sisters, is that He is known as Sattarul Uyub. Allah is that God that covers over our defects, our shortcomings. You know, hadith tell us that had Allah allowed people around us to know of our sins, nobody would sit beside another person in a gathering. Tonight we're all here together, the men, the women in their hall. Can you imagine if every time we committed a sin, a tweet went out, Ali in Birmingham committed this particular sin, Zainab did this particular sin, or imagine if a bubble floated over our head every time a person committed an act against Allah. Right? Nobody could live in a society because we are all humans, we make mistakes. We will sin intentionally sometimes, hopefully unintentionally. The goal obviously is that if we do sin, we recognize our mistake, we ask Allah for forgiveness, we change our ways, we promise not to go back to the old ways. And that's the beauty of Allah, that He covers our sins. Not only does Allah cover the sins, but actually in one verse of the Quran, Allah goes on to say that had Allah taken you and I to task, every time we sin, or the first instance of a sin, the verse says He would not have left a single human being on the face of this earth. If we were to sin and Allah were to say, I'm going to instantaneously take the life of that person, nobody would be alive on earth. Other than obviously the imams and the awliya and those certain people who can lead a life of piety because we have the potential to be ma'soom. We have the ability to keep away from sin. It's not impossible. It is a challenge. It's very challenging, especially in the era in which we live, where we are surrounded by sin and we have temptation to sin on a daily basis. But it's not impossible to presume that somebody can live a life in this world and has never sinned. It's not impossible. So the verse says, if Allah were to take us to task every time you and I sin, he says, مَا تَرَكَ دَابَ, that he would not have left a single moving creature on this earth. So when the Imam is saying that we have to have this quality of covering over the secrets, of keeping secrets, that comes at multiple levels. At the first level, it's our own personal secrets. Right? We all have what we call skeletons in the closet. You know, when we were young, we may have not led a great life. We may have done things which are actually deemed as sins. And we're told in the religion that one of the major sins is actually to tell other people your sins. So as believers, we don't have a concept of confession like the Catholic Church does, where they will go and they will go in the confession booth and the father will be on the other side and they will say, you know, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. And you'll list all your sins and he'll say, do 200 Hail Marys, for example, and you'll be absolved of your sin. We don't have that concept. Even to go to a Mawlana or an Alim or even your Marja Taqlid and say, Ayatollah X, I've committed this and this sin, what should I do? We don't have that concept in Islam. And actually, it is deemed as the major sin, a major sin because, you know, you're at one level degrading yourself where you have an opportunity to turn to Allah, to ask Allah for forgiveness, and for Allah to remove that sin such that it never existed on your record. But when you go and broadcast it and you tell people, even if you're looking for advice, let's say on how to reform yourself, you know, you are in a way degrading yourself. You're humbling yourself in a way that should not be done. So at one level, when we look at this hadith of the 8th Imam, kitmanu sir, to hide the secrets, it's to ensure that we don't promote our own sins. And especially today in social media world, it's very difficult. You see people who commit sins, and not only do they not hide them, but they promote them on social media. They'll take a photo of themselves on the beach of whatever country, and they'll promote themselves that this is how they dress. Right? Or they'll go to clubs, and they'll drink, and they'll party, and then you'll have some of our youth who will post their photos of them drinking with alcohol in hand. Right? Committing a sin and then promoting it. At one level, we can look at this hadith in terms of our own personal life that we all may perform, but we need to cover ourselves. We need to turn to Allah. We need to ask Allah to forgive us. And at another level, we also have to recognize that many times we become the recipients of information from friends, from family, where they may confide in us. Right. How many times somebody would come to you and say, you know, I'm facing a particular challenge in life. I want to confide in you because I think that you can probably help me out. And many times, unfortunately, that secret between two people gets exposed to the community. One person will say it to another person. They'll say, you know what, somebody told me, but don't tell them I told you, you know. And those words, don't tell them I told you, that becomes that wildfire, that it goes from that person to the next, and then you see it on a WhatsApp group, and then it's spread through an entire community, devastating individuals' lives. Right? So at that level, we have to be extremely careful, brothers and sisters, when a member of the community, especially a believer, a mu'mina comes and says, I need to talk to you about something, but don't tell anybody about it. That we keep that secret between us and our heart. We don't expose it to people. You know, I'll give you one example and move on. One other example, and this is something that I've seen in communities and members have asked to speak about it, and that's those who are on the ghusl kafan committees. When you are giving the ghusl to a fellow believer, a male or female, you have the greatest secret in front of you. You have a human body of a believer, you know, whose hurma, whose respect is greater than the Kaaba. And whatever you see on that body, whether it be a defect or whatever it may be. That is a secret to keep between yourselves and Allah. So many times people have said, you know, we did the ghusl of this person and guess what? We saw this, for example, piercing or this tattoo, or they had this on their body, or they had that on their body, or they had this bruise, or they had this something on the body, men or women. And this is nothing short of a sin. Right? When you're giving the ghusl, when you're performing that kafan, this is a trust you have been given. This is, first of all, it's an honor from Allah that you are a part of that committee, that you're able to prepare that individual to go back to Allah. You know, we lament over the tragedy of Karbala where Abu Abdullah alayhi salam was not given that kafan and that ghusl and that last respect of the body. So we have to recognize when we have that opportunity, it's an honor given to us by Allah and it's a secret. Whatever we see, whatever happens, we don't spread that to community, not even to our spouse, to nobody, because that is personal between you and that mayit, that you don't let that information get out to the community.